Today on Real Radio.
When you fish in the ocean, you don't know what you're going to get. What are you doing? Oh, man, I'm lonely. I'm going to go out. And what are you doing? Oh, we were just going to go to this dance place, and then we're going to go to this club over here. Are you crazy? You're fishing in the ocean, man. You're going to wind up snagging something. You're going to wind up hooking something. You go, what is this? What do you expect? You went fishing in the ocean. And look at the bait you were using anyway. I mean, my goodness.
Make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a topical series based on scriptural wisdom that guides us believers in practical and godly living. Some of the titles in this series so far, Being a Christian in Your Home, in the Workplace, on Campus, and so forth. Well, recently, our teacher has been dealing with the issue of divorce and what Scripture says about it. And what we're about to hear is the next part of this series called Being a Christian and Surviving Divorce. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. King David did that. He was excellent about that. That he took the time to strengthen himself in the Lord. David was an amazing example, even though he's an Old Testament believer, you read the book of Psalms and you read about his life throughout Scripture, and you have amazing respect for David's New Testament relationship with God. It's amazing. David would get depressed. You could almost see him look down inside of his robe. He says, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Hope in God. Why are you so depressed?" That's what the believer needs to be like. What's wrong with me? I'm sensing depression. I feel like my life's coming apart. I'm so weak. Talk to God. Go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Those who were married before struggle with that temptation because they know what it's like. The comfort and the safety and the security of having a husband or a wife with them all those years, and now they're gone. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin, listen to this, every sin that a man does is outside of the body. Listen, if you rob a bank, you're robbing a bank. It's a sin, but it's outside of your body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who's in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Run from sexual temptation. Strengthen your life. How, Pastor Jack? Do the Joseph thing. Remember when Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph? She grabbed him, and by the way, every day she would come to him and say, and it said that she'd cast longing eyes at Joseph. Okay, knowing Satan a little bit like I do, you think she was really good looking or ugly? You don't know the answer? She was good looking. We already know what Joseph looked like. The Bible says he was extremely handsome, super well-built, and in Egypt, this Hebrew man who probably had incredible highlights in his sort of dark hair, because that's how they do, and he would have had blue or green eyes with olive skin. He's a Hebrew. And he's walking around, and she's going, who is that? Well, he works for your husband. He's your husband's right-hand man. And so when Potiphar's away, Potiphar's wife comes and she's casting longing eyes at him. Joseph. And what's going on? All this stuff. He's getting bombarded by this woman. And listen, most men today would say, gosh, you know what? I tried to fight this off and Satan just overpowered me. Joseph knew his God was real. Joseph knew his God was there. And Joseph did not want to sin against his God. And Joseph ran. And you go, yeah, but read the fine print, Pastor Jack. He got in big trouble. He wound up getting caught and being thrown in prison, being falsely accused. Can you imagine what kind of trouble he would have gotten into if he wouldn't have run? Your strength needs to be anchored in a deep, committed, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Husband, wife, ex-husband, ex-wife, focus on Christ. Should you get married or not, remarried, listen. We can talk about that some other time, or maybe if we have time in the close of this, but that should not be your pursuit. Drawing close to Christ should be your pursuit. Strengthen, making sure that whatever went on in your life never happens again. By the way, the statistics are overwhelming. That once a divorce happens, the probability of a second divorce is greatly elevated. In 2 Timothy 2:15, this is what I believe every person tonight who's here regarding this topic tonight. If you are post-divorce Christian, you should make 2 Timothy 2:15 an aspect of your life. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman or a workwoman, how about that, that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Draw close to God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Make every effort, Christian, to build yourself up, your lifestyle. When I say lifestyle, that is ethos in Greek, how you live your life. I'm not talking about if you have rings or a ski boat lifestyle. That's ridiculous. I'm talking about how you live your life. In Jude, verse 20 and 21, it says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Point number four is this. Determining this, that you will make different choices from now on. Does the Lord even want you to marry again is a question often stated. Look at this slide right here. According to a recent survey, couples were asked, their number one reason for divorce listed are the top 10 answers. And this survey was done by one of those very well-known marriage encounter seminar thingies, whatever it's called. Number one, cheating and infidelity. Number two, poor communication. Three, physical, psychological, or emotional abuse. Four, money. Five, sexual incompatibility. Six, boredom. Seven, religious beliefs and differences. I'm surprised that's on there, but that's biblical that it's there, isn't it? Think about that. Doesn't the Bible say we should not be unequally yoked? Why? God knows. Causes splits in the life, in the home. Child rearing. I assume that they disagree on how to raise a child. Number nine, addiction. Number 10, change in priorities. These are the top 10 reasons why people get divorced. Interesting. Well, mark this down. I'll give you a string of verses here. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. Okay. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to marry to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. See, what does that mean? Are you a Christian wife? And for that matter, it's also true about the husband. If your spouse dies, you're free to marry again, but only a believer, it says. Only a believer. You say, well, what's with that? In fact, I'll read it. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:10. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but if she departs, or if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Meaning verses 10 through 11 apply to the male and the female. There's not some rule for the man and not for the woman. It's equal, even. What's very interesting about this is that if the woman wishes to depart or the unbelieving husband wishes to depart, that person's free. Goes either way. It's very important you understand that. Again, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked, that is a believer and a non-believer. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord or agreement has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. This is so wise. It's so powerful. Are you unhappy in your marriage? People will say that. I want you to think about that for a moment. Are you separated from your husband or wife right now? Are you going through a divorce right now? I want you to be determining now, my friend, to make wise decisions. Are you unhappy? Are you separated? Are you divorced? Why do I ask you that question? Because listen, you're a Christian now. You belong to the living God. You are to be yoked, that is, remarried, if God would have you to be remarried, to a believer and a believer only. Well, Pastor, I'm dating this guy. He's a total Satanist, but I think I'll convert him and it's going to be great. Listen, if you're going through a divorce or if you're separated, are you not still married, by the way? Are you going through a divorce? Are you married? Yeah, you're married. If you're going through a divorce, you're still married. Are you separated? Are you unhappy? You're still married. So when you go to work, keep your wedding ring on. You're married. Stop going to the singles bar with your friends. You're married, and a Christian shouldn't be there anyway. Listen, you may be hurting, you may be upset, you may be angry. Don't adopt the ways of the world. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And you need to be careful about this. Yeah, well, you know what? I take my ring off sometimes because, you know, what are you doing? Be careful. Because, well, how do I find a man? How do I find a woman? Chase Jesus. And as you're chasing Jesus, you'll bump into him or you'll bump into her. How do you do that? Because he'll be chasing Jesus too. Or she'll be chasing Jesus too. And when you guys are independently chasing Jesus and you wind up going along and you wind up looking over and she's there, hey, what's your name? Susie. What's your name? Bob. Cool. And she's still there. That's a good thing. Chase Jesus, bump into him or her, and then you know what? Then you can start saying, hey, Lord, is this somebody? But listen, I'll go on the fishing boats with the church out in the ocean. I go because it's fun to watch you guys. I don't like to do it. Here's the reason. I like to fish, but not in the ocean. You want to know why? I want to know what I'm going to be pulling up. It freaks me out to do what you guys do. Hey, man, let's go fishing off the boat over here in Newport. And you, what do you got? I don't know. And you pull it up, and it's like, what is that thing? When you fish in the ocean, you don't know what you're going to get. Listen, there's people like that. What are you doing? Oh, man, I'm lonely. I'm going to go out. And what are you doing? Oh, we're just going to go to this dance place, and then we're going to go to this club over here. Are you crazy? You're fishing in the ocean, man. You're going to wind up snagging something. You're going to wind up hooking something. You go, what is this? What do you expect? You went fishing in the ocean. And look at the bait you were using anyway. I mean, my goodness. Listen, my dad taught us how to fly fish. You ever fly fish? You know exactly what you're going to get. And it's pretty classy, too. You're going to catch what you're fishing for. And you're going to catch what you're fishing for by what you use. Be careful. That's a whole nother study for a whole nother time. Determine now to make the right decisions. Let the Word of God be your instrument by which you decide. Don't let pressure and listen. Don't panic. Well, I've been waiting 3 years. I've been waiting 10 years for Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright to come along. Wait on God. Man, you'll go right from one disaster to the other one because you didn't wait on God. His timing's perfect. He loves you. You're not going to blow it. Stay close to him. Well, what if I miss the guy? Let God find him for you. Number five, this is the last point. Being a Christian and surviving divorce is this. Living. You will live a more dedicated life to God. Being a Christian and surviving divorce, you're smarter now, aren't you? It cost you a lot. It hurt. But you have a more dedicated life to God now. And if that's who you are tonight, I want you to respect who you are in Christ and live a dedicated life to God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, the word is to urge, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good and acceptable, perfect will of God is. In Ephesians 5:17, we looked at it earlier tonight. See then that you walk circumspectly, that you walk in uprightness before God and man. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. Listen to this. Your sanctification. That means you are different than those in the world. You're Christians. You're different. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That is, marriage is the place for sexual activity. You're not married and you're having sex. The Bible calls that fornication and or adultery. Collectively, it is sexual immorality. You're sinning against your own soul. The Bible says if you persist in that lifestyle, it says that no one practicing sexual immorality will enter the kingdom of God. Why? It is a spiritual sin. Do you understand that? Your media, your world has built it as some sort of a thing that just everybody does. It's just what you're supposed to do. They mock and make fun of virgins. In fact, if they find a virgin, they'll make sure that that guy or that girl is not a virgin any longer. You want to know why it's so important to the world? I'm telling you right now, it's a spiritual issue. The Bible says if a man who has the Holy Spirit in him joins himself with another woman outside of marriage, he's joining Christ to a harlot. Well, what does it say that? Because it's spiritual. And when two people who are married come together physical, in a physical sense, it's awesome. It's encouraging. It's strengthening. It bonds the marriage even more together. Don't raise your hand in here tonight. But if you're married tonight here, husband, wife, I think that when you have sex, you should be able to pray after you have sex. Are you kidding me? What is that? Although, what? That's weird. Why? God was there the whole time. He is there. He made it. You're married. The book of Hebrews says the marital bed's undefiled. Undefiled. Go in there, shut the door, jump up and down on the bed. You know, it's undefiled. Come together as a husband and wife. And then praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for this marriage. Thank you for him. Thank you for her. Think about it. I can't believe he's saying that. He invented it. But if it's abused, it becomes a curse. In Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the gathering together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much so as we see the day approaching. What does that mean? These are crazy days, my friend. The world's coming apart. Marriage is under attack. I don't need to tell this church that. Well, what should we do? Pastor Jack, I went through a divorce. What should I do? You know what? You dive headfirst into church, into spiritual stuff, into ministries. You absolutely get yourself inundated with doing things for God, serving the Lord, blessing his people. And listen, even if you haven't gone through a divorce, you need to be doing that right now because the days are evil. And we need to be not stop. We need to be coming to church more often than stopping and doing our own thing. This is a dangerous time. People are getting tired of driving 2 miles to church. I think I'll stay home today. What's the matter? I just can't make it to the car. You guys, this is serious stuff, and it's spiritual in nature. I don't feel like continuing any longer. That's dangerous. It's happening everywhere. I don't know. You know, I don't want to read my Bible today. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Last final verse. Here we go. It's a big one, but it's the last one. Isaiah 54:3. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. Listen, this is for someone in here tonight. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. Like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. The Lord is saying to all of us, I want to heal your life. I've got a plan for your life. Now tonight, in this brief period of time, as we end this, we can only cover certain things. The very specific details of, is my marriage according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7? Is it biblical? Is this situation I'm in? Can I remarry again or should I not? Does the Bible command me to stay unmarried? Those things you read carefully, quietly, as your homework. Read them tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7. The specific things, come in for counseling. Contact pastors here at the church. Dive into your Bible. Just know this, God hates divorce. I highly recommend the situation that you're in right now. If it is before divorce has taken place, make it work. Get help. Don't give up. If you are now divorced, you either find out if you think that you have to be married and you should be married, you talk to God about that. And then number two, find out if it's biblical if you should be remarried, because some cases forbid it. Number three, ask God, Lord, do you want me to be single and serve you? You need to ask him these questions. Far too many people seek their identity in their spouse rather than in their God. And that is a dangerous situation. Know who you are in Christ, and everything else God will take care of.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Being a Christian and Surviving Divorce. It's part of the Life in the Bible series, which we've been presenting here on Real Radio, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Now, we have had quite a bit of response regarding this series. Once again, it's called Life and the Bible. And what we heard on today's broadcast serves as a good example of what you'll hear throughout the series. Life and the Bible is now available for purchase on either CD or DVD. Visit us at realradioactive.org. to learn more, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you'll also be able to click the graphic that tells you more about our television outreach called Journey. Journey with Jack Hibbs is seen on television and the internet, and we invite you to see that as well. Our number is toll free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.